Let me think. Okay. I move that any participant in today's conference call be welcome to participate temporarily. Be welcome to participate in any working group until a permanent policy on voting membership in working groups is determined.
So they'll participate without a vote until we determine, right?
Right. Yeah, without a vote. Good point.
Okay. Any objection to that?
Well, hold on there. Make sure we're all going to have the same thing to agree or disagree on. What I have is, any participant in today's call will be welcome to participate in any working group without a vote until permanent policy on working groups can be determined.
Fine.
Okay, any objection? Hearing none, who else on the call would like to join the working group?
I would like to be you asking the people that are in this category.
Yeah, that would be you.
Okay, yes, the code of conduct, policies and procedures, and the bylaws.
Okay. Okay. And so let's move the agenda, and also if the conveners can.
Jim Freeland.
Yes, Jim.
Yes, I'd like. I'm sorry, I was on mute. I would like to be on the policies and procedures working group, and potentially also on the code of conduct and bylaws. So I'll have to check my timing on that. For now, I'd like to be listed on those two as well.
Okay. Well, I would say that with the understanding that, and this goes without saying to anybody, if anybody is the subject of an agenda item referred to any committee like that, then they should not be able to vote.
I can't vote anyway. You said it was not voting.
No, you can't vote anyway, but I just want to remind the whole group.
Point of order, could the secretary who just volunteered there?
Who just spoke?
That was Ken.
Freeland. Yep.
Hello?
Hello.
Hello.
Back to the jet engine.
There's that noise again.
Sorry.
Okay, is that you, Ken? Okay.
Yeah, that's probably me. I'm in a car, so I'm going to mute out again.
Okay, if you can mute. Okay. Okay. So, then moving the agenda to update on the Susan Young issue. And, Deb, are you on the call?
Information. My understanding is we have... 15 minutes on this? What did we finally decide?
Oh,
five. We have 10 minutes.
10 minutes.
Okay.
10.
Okay.
It was 10?
It was 10. It was 5, and then Richard expanded it to 10, and we all approved the agenda.
Okay.
So what I know is that there has been a letter of resignation from Susan Young, and she resigned from the arts...
Miller Theater Advisory Board.
Theater. Yeah, exactly. And so I personally think that's the end of that issue, but Richard seems to think there's more. Richard, did you want to speak to this?
Well, it's not her specific issue, it's that issue. And we need to have a policy about that issue because we've had different LSPs treating that issue differently, and we've had different policies in the past, and we need to come up with an interpretation of that bylaw and get it approved by the PNB because we have a new election coming up. And I think we need to be clear because we've had, you know, two or three different methodologies going on in dealing with it. And that's this chaos.
George, Stack.
And Wendy.
Okay, George and Wendy.
I agree with that. I mean, I think what Terry Verisius did was a good first step, but there are other aspects of this which really haven't been considered. I ran as a Green Party candidate for Congress, which was bought or intention, really, of winning Congress. And power.
Ken, is that you?
Yes, it is. I want to be on the stack, but I'll mute again, please.
You'll be on.
Okay. Well, first of all, we're going beyond we're going beyond the issue on the agenda, which was Susan Young. This is like a different issue.
Well, it seems to me that the policy, what's being said is that the policy that underlies this is not clear enough, and we ought to take it up as deciding what we want to do about that policy. I was giving an example of what I think is not workable.
That's a different agenda item. That's that's either goes to the bylaws committee if you want to have a bylaws change, or policies and procedure if you want to create a policy. But specifically, the case of Susan Young has already been resolved. She has resigned. The issue that was brought to this committee was not the issue of how it affects everything universally, although I agree it's a huge discussion. It's not a discussion that was put on this agenda. Susan Young was put on this agenda. That specific issue that relayed to a ruling by an elections supervisor at that time was what was brought to the governance committee and was resolved by her resignation of the theater group, period. And anything else should be taken to the bylaws working group and or to the policies and procedures working group.
Well, I think it should go to policy and procedures because we're not asking to amend the bylaws. We just need to
finish your statement.
Want to amend the bylaws. So
Point of order and a point of personal privilege. I'm having a hearing problem right now, and people just jumping in and barking whenever they want is absolutely not working for me. Further, with regard to Ken, he either needs to close the window or pull off the road when he's speaking because I can't hear with the noise.
Okay.
Who's that speaking?
This is Serene. Okay, so the issue of Susan Young, I think, is over, and any other issues can be raised at either of those other working groups. Thank you. Now let's move on to Ken Freeland's suspension. And Ken,
hey, Lydia.
Yes?
You had recognized me to be on the stack. This is Wendy.
Okay, and it's specific to Susan Young only.
Yes.
Thank you.
I just want to point out to the board, to the committee, that the issue of this bylaws issue of Susan Young having to, you know, being an appointed member of a municipality that is specifically forbidden in the bylaws had been brought up for months and months and months at the KPFT level, and it was brought up by a member who is not very popular on that board, and so it was ignored, and we finally had to take it to the PNB level to get some resolution. And even then, it still drug on, and it wasn't until Lydia wrote an email saying, you know, well, I'm changing my position because I wasn't thinking about the 501c3, that's when the next minute there was this resignation. And so I just wanted her to point that out, that the issue of, you know, minority members speaking up, just because they're a minority does not mean that they're wrong on things. And so I just want everybody to consider all that. You know, I mean, it's happening more and more all the time. If you're not in the faction currently in charge, then you're not heard. And so anyway, I would move to refer this to the Policies and Procedures Committee.
But, well, the Susan Young issue is resolved. She resigned. It's no longer a governance issue. But the overall other issue with that amendment can both exist depending on whether people want to change a bylaws amendment or want to create a policy that defines and clarifies and interprets
the
bylaws.
If I'm still in the stack, I would just say I don't think we need to change the bylaw. I think it's a good bylaw in what it's trying to address. If we come up with a policy around it, then we can deal with it successfully and not have to go waste everybody's time all the time. So.
Right. So again, this is in those working groups, and this issue is over. And so if we can move on.
Lydia, can I just, so what are we saying here? So then now is the Policies and Procedures Working Group going to work on this?
What I'm saying,
do we need
is
to refer
that
it?
Either we don't have to refer it because it was not raised on the agenda. Right. Susan Young issue is a separate, specific issue.
Point of order, Madam Chair.
Yes?
This is Mark. It is appropriate for her to forward it to the working group as a issue of that sort. The issue is actually unresolved as it was brought up before, although her resignation has taken effect. The issue still stands.
No, it doesn't. I'm sorry. I will rule that that is not appropriate. I was on the governance committee. There was a particular issue asking her to resign from one or the other. She resigned from one, and the issue is resolved. The larger issues can be raised at either of those committees, and there are plenty of members on this that feel strongly about changing or interpreting or whatever on both of those committees, and they're free to do so, and then they can report back to this governance committee.
My point is that Wendy is not out of order in asking the body to refer it to the working group.
The Susan Young issue cannot be referred. It's over.
But Lydia, this is a really related issue, and what do we do?
It's a related issue. Then you can raise a new issue.
Mm-hmm. How do I do that? I'm asking you.
And I keep saying over and over, like a broken record, bylaws and policies and procedures can both take up the issue.
Point of order, Madam Chair. Your ruling is basically stating that nothing but the absolute issue can be raised on an agenda item. Yet there are numerous corollary issues that come up in any discussion.
And I'm not preventing those from being taken to either of the working groups.
This is what I'm raising the original point was. Wendy is not out of order in asking that this issue be referred to the working group.
And
it is a corollary to the actual agenda issue.
They could be referred to bylaws and policy and procedures.
I'm trying to order that.
To be referred to the working group.
This is great.
Bylaws and procedures.
I'd like to call for the orders of the day.
Yeah.
We're wasting time on this. I definitely will bring it up at the policy and procedures first meeting as an agenda item.
Definitely, but
okay. Ken Freeland, suspension. Ken, can you pull over, roll up your window? Ken? Ken?
Yeah, but if you give me a few seconds here, I'll pull over.
Okay.
Lydia, can you tell us what was the motion that the PNB referred to the governance committee about it?
Yes, it was a motion for Susan to resign from either the LSB.
I'm talking about the Freeland suspension.
Oh, the Freeland suspension. Well, that's why he can. I only received one of them, and the other one, they seem very similar to me.
This is Bob. I can answer
where
the question.
He wants it revoked. Go ahead.
Okay. Actually, I just checked my email, and I got from Mary the relevant part of the minutes concerning this of the PNB meeting, so I can forward that right now to everyone on the committee. And that concerns my motion that was made at the PNB meeting, which was then referred back to this committee. And then Ken had a separate motion, which is different, although it superficially seems similar. It actually is quite different on the same subject. And so at our meeting Friday night, his motion was also referred. So in other words, we should consider them as a pair and the pros and cons or mixture of the two.
What I'm interested in is what the PNB sent to the committee.
Both.
Okay.
So
one from the January meeting and one from Friday night's meeting.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
Point of information, which is which?
In a quick nutshell, mine from January was to conclude that that the PNB would find that there were some serious problems with the process that led to the suspension of Ken Freeland. But not to reverse any votes that the LSB has taken as a result of that, and to charge the governance committee to develop a code of conduct that includes a uniform procedure for suspensions and other discipline in the future. That was my motion, and I guess I won't characterize Ken's because he'd come on the phone and characterize it himself.
Ken's motion was also forwarded, as I understood
yes.
you to say.
I just forwarded my motion earlier today to everybody on this committee, so y'all should have it. It says Freeland motions. Both this one and the other one are on that message.
I'm sorry, my question, was this forwarded by the PNB, or was this
yes.
forwarded by Ken Freeland?
PNB. No, it was forwarded by the PNB.
Both. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
One of them was.
It was formally referred by the PNB. Both of them were formally referred to this committee for action or for
right.
consideration.
I was asked to forward the specific motion itself earlier by this committee, and I did so at the beginning of this call.
Right, and I forwarded it on, too. I'm still looking for the one from the PNB, the other one from the PNB.
Yeah, I just sent it. Sorry.
Okay.
This is Ken. Could I go ahead and speak? Because I pulled over to the road here and I have to continue on my way, but I'll go ahead and speak if that's okay, and then I can mute again and continue on my way here.
Continue. Please speak.
Okay. All right. The motion that I put forward. Hello?
Go ahead.
I'm hearing noises.
Yeah.
Real big noises here. boy. Okay. So the motion that I put forward is different from Bob's. Bob's is about the fact that a process was violated, but he doesn't want to see anything done about the fact that process was violated in my particular case. He wants to see that he only wants to acknowledge that process was violated and look for more uniform procedures or whatever for the future. My motion is about helping to undo some of the damage that has been caused by this unjust ruling, and I'm asking the PNB to reverse that ruling in order that my name can be cleared, in order that a, and I'll get into the details of this as we discuss it, but in order that a suspension that was done without any regard for the protections of due process offered by Robert's Rules of Order will not continue to plague me and my political life on the Pacifica National Board and as a potential delegate in the election next year.
But you are no longer asking for votes to be rescinded?
That's a separate issue. I think they can be treated separately, but
okay.
I'm certainly asking for a reversal of the overriding of the decision. The question of whether or not certain decisions that were made in my absence need to be reconsidered can be taken up separately.
Okay. Any comments?
Some of information first. Are we actually going to consider these two motions simultaneously?
Well, I think that some of the things that we need to decide, because we also have LSV members who have not been privy to everything, to the testimony. We had extensive testimony at one point on this issue. There's documentation from both sides on this issue. And if I'm not mistaken, most people, except perhaps the team at KPFT, are not privy to everything. And until that is done, I would hope that this could be referred to either Code of Conduct or to Code of Conduct and Policies and Procedures, because you have two. One is specifically, Bob's is specifically directed that policies and procedures need to be developed in conjunction with an acknowledgement of faulty process, perhaps. Excuse me. And Ken's goes farther than that. So, excuse me. So I personally think that there isn't enough information for many of the committee members to make a determination, and I would like to see it referred, but somebody can decide to make a motion, and there are two motions here. There are two separate motions.
Can I put on the stack?
Yes.
And I have
Bob.
A point of information, too.
Okay, Mark and Wendy.
And Bob.
Mark, Wendy, Bob. Mark, go ahead.
Hello?
Mark?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Fine.
Did not ask to be on the stack.
It wasn't Mark.
It's George who asked to be on the stack.
George.
Sorry.
Oh,
okay.
The first one was George, not Mark? Okay, George.
Yeah. I think it's useful to discuss the policy implications of this, and I think it's also the case that there's a lot of factual stuff that those of us who were there know, that those of us who weren't there don't. I don't know what the testimony was. So I want to speak to the policy, to Bob's motion in particular.
Yeah, let's start out with Bob's motion because that was the first one that was referred to us. So let's take these in order.
I'll take number one of his motion, which he finds as
point of order.
Yes.
Shouldn't we ask first if every member on the call has the text in front of them? And if not, can I just read it out loud so we're all on the same page?
Okay, why don't you go ahead and read it?
And my point of information has to do with this, so if I could ask it before...
Okay. Go ahead. Ask.
No, let Bob read it and then I'll ask it.
Okay.
Okay. Resolved that the Pacifica National Board finds that the... And obviously we would amend that to say resolved that the Governance Committee recommends, okay... that the Pacifica National Board finds that the procedures used by the KPFT LSB on August 10, 2005 in suspending member Ken Freeland immediately following the LSB's rejection of a motion to expel Mr. Freeland denied Mr. Freeland certain due process rights that must be provided in cases of disciplinary proceedings for alleged conduct outside of an LSB meeting. Specifically, number one, the holding of the proceeding in executive session despite Mr. Freeland's request for it to be held in public and his written waiver of his right to confidentiality. Number two, the last-minute addition of a motion to suspend to the agenda after the motion to expel had been rejected without the required two-thirds vote to amend the agenda, and when it was past 1 a.m. after some members, including Mr. Freeland, believed the meeting had been adjourned and had therefore left the building, although someone informally notified Mr. Freeland and he then raced back to be present, thus denying Mr. Freeland notice that this separate disciplinary matter would be taken up. Number three, the failure of the motion to suspend Mr. Freeland to list any specific grounds for that discipline. And number four, the denial of Mr. Freeland's right to defend himself at the subsequent LSB executive session, at which the LSB voted to further define the suspension to deny him participation on LSB committees. Further resolved that while the PNB passes no judgment on the validity or invalidity of the charges brought against Mr. Freeland, it expresses disapproval of the KPFT LSB's denial of the previously listed due process rights to Mr. Freeland, and further resolved that the PNB directs the Governance Committee to develop recommendations for a code of conduct for LSB and PNB members and procedures for conducting future disciplinary proceedings, including suspensions, by LSBs and the PNB in a manner that will guarantee members' due process rights. That's it.
Okay, is it back to me? It's George.
Can I do my point of information?
Yes, Wendy. No, George, you're arguing a point. She's doing a point of information. Go ahead, Wendy.
Well, this thing that Bob just sent out says that there's Mary's notes that says that the motion passed 4 yes and 3 no at an in-person meeting of the PNB. Is that correct?
That's correct. It's what my notes say. In my notebook, I have not been able to... The audio for that is not available at any URL that I have tried.
Sorry, was that a motion to refer or a motion that this motion itself passed?
No, it was referred.
It was a motion to refer what Bob just read.
Okay.
For that issue.
Okay, and then...
Like me on a stack, I don't think that's the case.
Ken Freeland's motion had, I have a note that says that was referred to the...
Okay, and when you guys say that at the PNB meeting of Friday the 10th of March, that it was this motion that was referred back to governance?
No.
Ken's motion.
But we're
Ken read
motion.
To us, by the way.
All right, so the PNB referred this one by a vote of 4-3 in D.C., and then Ken's new motion of Friday night.
Right.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay, George?
Okay, so let me say that the factual basis here is correct. That Ken Freeland did, in fact, request that the meeting be held in public, and he did, in fact, give us a written waiver of his right to confidentiality. I think this is a very bad policy, and it was discussed at the time. He is not the only one at risk from holding an executive session in public. The people on the board are also at risk. The motion as it's written basically approves this as policy and gives this as an example of poor policy, so to speak. We actually had a lawyer there, and my recollection is, and perhaps Wendy or Debbie can speak on this, but my recollection is that she said also that it would be very unwise to do that. So I think that this first item in particular is not suitable policy. I agree with Lydia's procedure certainly about that one. It should be referred if we want to continue it further, but I don't think that's anything that we want to put forward, as you are entitled to have that happen whenever you have a meeting in executive session and you are the subject of it.
Richard, I'd like to be on the stack, please.
R. Paul for the stack.
And Bob.
Okay. Now I... Okay.
One on the stack.
Okay, Ken was next.
Thank you. Well, in response to what George just said, the whole code of conduct procedure, which this whole procedure was supposedly versed in terms of, was never intended to be a hidden away, secret kind of process. It was intended to be something that was done relatively publicly and openly so that the KPFT community could see that justice was being done. And that's exactly why I insisted that it be open. And it's not true that the board was at risk in allowing it to be an open process. That's what the whole legal indemnification was that I passed around. It was a disclaimer that was notarized by a notary public stating that I would hold harmless members of the board for any consequences to me for having the meeting held openly rather than privately. So it's really not the case, as we just heard, that the board members were put at risk by the option of an open meeting.
George Sack.
And lastly, well, I just want to repeat that the purpose of the Code of Conduct is for open, transparent justice. And when you have a kangaroo court type setting where things are done privately, out of public hearing, you don't have the option of allowing the community to know that justice is being well served. Thank you.
This is Mark. I'd like to be on the stack.
Next is Richard.
Yeah, I guess I would agree generally with what Ken just said, and I put it in the context. You know, I happen to be an attorney, and I've dealt with a lot of due process issues. And you go back to look at English common law, and they had a thing called star chambers, where nobody got to know what happened except the ruling class, the prince or the duke who was running that particular chamber. And my point is very clear. If there's something in that discussion that has to do with issues that are confidential, like a lawsuit that's going on and you don't want your tactics known, or there's a personnel matter there, that's fine. Then it should be an executive session. But when it's just a political issue about somebody said this and that was rude and that was bad, there's nothing there that anybody can really get sued for. You're just talking about people's opinions of things, and especially if somebody gives a waiver, those kind of political discussions are always hidden from us in this society, and there's a reason for that. They don't want us knowing who's doing what, and we have to be different than that. We have to be upfront about the political machinations that go on in this organization if we want people to believe in us as, you know, voice for the voiceless and free speech radio. So I think in a circumstance where there's no issues of, you know, confidential, like legal or personnel matters, and you're just having a political dispute about what something should be or not be, and if this is good conduct or bad conduct, that should be public so everybody understands not only what the facts are and how people are treated, but the positions that people take. So when they're up for re-election, people know, oh, this guy doesn't believe in due process. He just wants to hang this guy or whatever. People have to be held accountable. All of us do. And the only way we're held accountable is when people know what we're doing.
That's all.
All right. The first thing I think we need to do is go back to probably the most basic issue here. Is there a right to suspend a member and deny someone who has been elected to a position equal to everybody else, to deny that person the right to vote and to participate in the thing they've been elected to? And since we've had this issue with WBAI, where a member who was suspended for 6 months has now been suspended for more than a year, no new vote, he's just, you know, they don't like his apology, they say. The fact is, the more I hear about this, the more I think that it's not really legal for us, for Pacifica, to be suspending from voting and participating people who are elected to their positions. And I'm trying rapidly to look at these two motions, and there's just a lot there to look at. But I think that I think it's sort of ironic some of the things that one member here has written regarding the suspension of Mr. Freeland, since some of this same kind of thing was done in New York City, and that member was fine with it. But I think that, one, we have to look at the idea that we need to find out absolutely if it's possible to suspend people. Two, is it possible to suspend people by a simple majority? I mean, that, in New York, that's what happened. We've got somebody who's been denied his rights for a year on a simple majority. And three, we need to determine how to prevent a majority or a temporary majority from just going after people politically like this, because this will destroy Pacifica if we do enough of it. The FCC looks at licensees and sees whether they're worthy or not. And if we're holding, you know, if our boards become these revenge things for people, vehicles for revenge, the FCC is very liable to look at this and say, well, Pacifica, you want to renew licenses. Here's what you've been doing to some of your elected members. And we could have a very nasty surprise in the future. So I think that we need to look at, you know, some very basic things here. And, you know, I think we really can't be suspending probably anybody in the first place. But if we somehow can, we need to clean up our act about the way it's done.
Okay. Bob?
Several points. First, on the whether a board has the right to suspend. Number one, our bylaws mandate that in any matter that's not specified as far as our procedures, we follow Robert's rules. Robert's rules explicitly, by name, authorize a suspension as a disciplinary penalty, for disruptive conduct, etc. Number two, the PNB considered this. Actually, this committee considered it and upheld the right of suspension and recommended that to the board. The board ratified that last year, so that's a settled issue. What's not settled is what should be the proper procedures, and that's why my motion calls for the code of conduct to really once and for all address this and have uniform network-wide procedures. Number three, as far as open, you know, whether it should be open or in executive session, I fully concur with Richard's position that this is the business of every member of Pacifica to know how their representatives are voting. And furthermore, it's required by the bylaws that mandate open meetings except for a very narrow list of five exceptions that this does not, that discipline does not fall under. And then the final point is that there was, I think, an incorrect characterization of what happened in New York, and the member referred to what he called the irony of my position. There were many differences in procedures between what our LSB did in the case here and the one in Houston, as far as that we did follow due process, and this motion kind of details the things that I believe the testimony has told us in about the Houston situation that were not followed, and the apology that was part of the motion, a mandate for an apology for the specific conduct before the person would be allowed back to resume his seat, not only has never been followed, but at our last meeting that suspended member said that his writing the word "I apologize" on a piece of paper was something we should disregard because it was never meant sincerely in the first place. So that's why the member remains suspended, because he hasn't complied with the terms of the suspension that were ratified by the PNB last year. That's it.
Yes, Zach.
Didn't hear you.
Pardon? Wait, Mark is next, and then I didn't hear who else wants to be on the stack. And where are we in time with this item?
We have 10 minutes.
Okay. So, Mark, but who are the other people that wanted to be? Is that AC?
Okay. No.
No.
I called to be on the stack much earlier. Am I on it? George?
George, okay. So Mark and George, is that all?
No, Deb has been trying, and she doesn't seem to be being heard.
Yeah, I can't hear. I didn't hear her. Okay. And so Mark, George, and Deb.
Okay, am I on?
Mark, go ahead.
Okay. As far as I recall, it requires a two-thirds vote to do anything to any member's rights, whether it be a member of the board or a member of Pacifica. And I it's not clear from the record that I have whether or not two-thirds vote was done to do anything with regards to Mr. Freeland. Hello.
Hello. Hello.
Hello, there we go. Okay.
Oh.
Are we there?
Yep.
Mark, keep
okay.
Talking.
Again, this goes back to the issue. We need the policy and procedures for this, but overall, the entire matter with Mr. Freeland is clearly violation of virtually every right I've ever even heard of with regard to a person being on a board. And the issue of suspension, yeah, it is an implied power of the boards under Robert's rules. But to my knowledge, suspension is intended for the duration of a meeting. It is not intended for a period of time beyond the single meeting. If you're going to do that, then you're going to be looking at expulsion or actually expulsion from the organization as the ultimate end run. But this has bothered me both in Houston and in New York. It's just the outrageous violation of the rights of members and delegates in their abilities to perform the duties that they were voted in. And the fact that political pettiness used to violate those rights, to basically skewer Robert's rule and violate that, and all for the sake of scoring political points or creating artificial majorities, this is just reprehensible conduct on both levels.
George,
Yeah, let me say, first of all, that we were not concerned with legal obligations.
Wait, who's saying point of order?
Yeah, I believe it's inappropriate for the member to impugn motive to the voters, to the LSDs, and it's possible to express one's opinion without characterizing and assigning motive. Yes,
there's no motive assigned to an individual. There's no motive assigned to an individual, so that point's irrelevant.
Yeah, but let's all try to be very respectful, and let's move forward. George?
Okay, thank you. Our concern was not that Ken would be bringing charges on the basis of what transpired in the open meeting. It was that members of the audience might do that, or that people on the board themselves might feel exposed by things that Ken said. Sorry, I can't really hear that. What?
Wait, is someone at a terminal? Please mute. Okay, go ahead.
Was anything I said heard?
No, please repeat it.
Okay, let me say it again. We were not concerned with Ken bringing charges against the board. He had given us a written statement that he was not going to, and that was not the issue at all. The issue was whether anyone in the audience, or even, in fact, anybody else on the board, might bring charges against the board for exposing things that they were of a confidential nature and shouldn't have been exposed. The specific charge against Ken was of doing precisely that, of making charges in an open meeting against a member of the staff, which were actually, if true, were legally libelous, were legally actionable, I'm sorry. Of the sort was a personnel matter that should have been considered an executive session. So it's not a matter of, we did in fact have code of conduct.
Yeah, somebody to raise a point of order for me here, that was a libelous charge right there, and that needs to be confronted.
I'm sorry, what was the libelous charge?
That
wait,
I was
wait, wait, wait. We're not going to start. We're not going to get into
well,
a row
be,
here.
He should not be. He's not.
I'm going to. I will end this meeting right now.
I don't think that Ken heard me properly. I said that he gave us a statement which said that he would not bring any charges against us, but that he had made, and the charge against him was that he had made a charge in an open meeting that shouldn't have been there. Now, you may think that was incorrect, but that was the charge against him. And that being the case, it seems a little bit absurd then to have an open meeting in which he can reiterate those charges. It's also the case that people on the board are liable for things that happen in the open meeting and other charges made against them in the pursuance of this discussion could open them up to the legal action, and none of us frankly wish to do that. And so by an overwhelming majority, that the board decided that we had to do it in private session. This is not to say that every code of conduct, and this is in fact not brought up under the code of conduct. It was brought up under the bylaws provision of being able to remove people by two-thirds vote who are acting in ways that, which are harmful to the foundation.
Okay, Deb,
and this is Wendy. Put me on, please.
This is Ken on the stack, please. Ken.
Ken.
Thank you.
Okay, one of the things that I want
to... And then I think we're going to be out of time after Ken, and we need to come to a resolution as to what to do with both of these items.
Lydia, didn't you hear me, Wendy?
Yes, I put you
did
on.
Did you get screen. Richard?
Thank you.
The stack is Deb, Wendy, Ken, and then I assume time is up by then. Deb?
In addition to the things that George just pointed out, I wanted to point out that the Roberts Rules is very clear. I wrote the minority opinion on Paul DiRienzo. The Roberts Rules is very clear that you may suspend for one meeting. Yes, absolutely. And it does not specify that you must have a two-thirds majority vote in that particular case. However, in the beginning of Roberts Rules, it says any time you interfere with a member's rights, to vote or to be heard, you must have two-thirds. So the fact that there was an omission was used as an excuse to off Paul DiRienzo. However, on the KPFT matter, we did not have two-thirds to remove Ken altogether, although we did have a majority. A majority of people felt his conduct was so egregious that he should be taken off the board entirely.
Look.
We did have two-thirds to suspend him for 60 days, and that, in fact, was what was done. And there was nothing illegal about the procedure at all. It's supported both by our bylaws, by Robert's rules, and by our standing rules that we adopted for our LSB.
Thank you. Wendy?
I'm afraid that the members of KPFT are too emotionally involved in this issue to comment clearly. I'm thinking that... I mean, my whole position from the beginning has been in defense of elected boards. I don't have a horse in this race. I disagree with the member on most things, but I still support the people that voted to put him in there. And I'm telling you that this was not, you know, what George is saying is that, oh, well, that there was some statement made that could damage the foundation. The statement was an opinion of the member, and the statement actually was that by changing the programming, that whoever did that was violating his fiduciary responsibility to the Pacifica mission. Now, people then went crazy and said, oh, well, you know, you are now giving that person cause to sue the foundation. You know what? That's ridiculous. We all are here for the programming. We care about the programming, and Their concern was the word fiduciary responsibility, but we're talking about the mission. And even then, even with that, when it came time to talk about removing Mr. Freeland, it was really, it became, they even forgot to bring that up. That could have been the one issue that we maybe could have debated, but it became then everything that this person had ever done in his entire life before some of these people ever knew him. Some people brought up the fact that you've made problems in every organization you've ever been in. Well, there's no proof for any of that. There was no charges ever specified in this suspension thing. It was just sort of what bugged everybody about this guy. And so this thing was not done properly, and it's just been just so much time and effort wasted on all of this. And you know, if we want to have elections in Pacifica, then we need to figure out how to make it all work and figure out properly if somebody is making that process not happen. But this did not happen in the case with Ken.
Okay. Ken?
Star 6.
Hello?
Mm-hmm. Hello? Go ahead, Ken.
Okay, thank you. Right, okay, I'm going to speak as quickly as I can here. Several things have been said that are, in my opinion, extremely incorrect. Number one, somebody said, I think it was Deb Shafto, well, you have the right to suspend, okay? And she claimed Robert's rules and so forth and so on that. The bylaws are very clear that the right to do anything regarding the tampering with the delegate's rights, the rights of the delegate to represent his constituency, belong to the delegates. This is nothing about the LSD being able to do anything. The delegates must meet in a meeting with that agenda in order to accomplish any change in the rights of that delegate to represent his constituency. That was not done in this case. This was actually a meeting of the LSB in closed session with the general manager who was the subject of the original comments present and cheerleading. So this is not the sort of thing that the bylaws envision. And the bylaws always trump Robert's Rules of Order whenever there's a conflict, and there's a clear conflict here. So I just wanted to say that Richard's earlier point about who has the right to suspend or whether suspensions are even considerable underneath an elected representational democracy is to the point, and it's something that needs to be discussed along with the rest of the issues here. Thank you.
Okay, now, we need to come to a resolution.
Lydia, I'm sorry. Can I have, like, two more seconds? I forgot the most important part of my comment, that what Ken said was during the Management Review Committee meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
Okay. And, excuse me. And this is one of those issues where I concur in terms of Mark and Rich's original plea for policies and procedures situation, because the differences of what goes on at those management review committees station per station is, like, you know, significant, shall we say. Anyway, okay, so let's move on. So what we need to determine, in my opinion, is that we have two motions, but we're dealing right now with Bob's, believe it or not, and what to do with it. I would hope that someone would refer it to one of our working groups.
I would move to refer it to the policy, the new policy working group, governmental policy working group. Seems to me that's the appropriate place to put it.
Okay. Are there any other motions to refer?
Who made the motion there?
This is George.
George.
Okay. And
this is Bob.
Bob.
I would amend that to refer to the Code of Conduct, especially because it specifically, the last point on it specifically talks about Code of Conduct, but also, again, just to repeat that I think these issues are intimately interrelated and can't be separated, so that's the
okay.
logic.
So since the amendment comes first, can we just go to a roll call? All those in
favor
of... Can
I just accept that amendment? Is that possible?
Pardon?
Can I just accept that amendment with the approval of the body?
Can you, I'm sorry.
Can I just accept that amendment?
Accept it?
Yes.
Accept it. Can I make a statement? This is Grace Aaron. I object.
Okay.
Yes, okay.
Because the Code of Conduct Working Group was set up to create a Code of Conduct. If a Code of Conduct is created, it cannot be then retroactive. I mean, interpretation of the bylaws and of Robert's Rules of Order needs to be done to adjudicate the propriety of a past action. You cannot impose a newly mandated code of conduct to a past action or decision. So the Code of Conduct Working Group is set up to create a code of conduct that will be enforced from the day it's approved by the PNB forward, not retroactively. So
okay.
It does not belong in the Code of Conduct Working Group.
Okay. Now, I would like to also mention that there is always the possibility of creating a specific ad hoc group, and then we would have to, if we decide to do that and refer it to that, we would have to just deal with this issue. We would have to decide whether members of the committee are eligible if they are participants. In other words, if they either voted for this motion of suspension or were the object of the suspension. And so that's another option, is to create a separate ad hoc committee. I think
okay,
I agree,
like,
with Grace.
I'd like to make a motion that a standing Ethics and Justice Committee be set up as a working group under the Governance Committee.
Okay, and what would you call it? I'm sorry.
To be activated when issues like this arise that need to be adjudicated.
Okay, but what did you call it?
A standing committee. In other words, it becomes activated when it's needed to adjudicate.
Right, but what was the name you gave it?
Ethics and Justice Working Group.
I'm sorry, I still can't hear you.
I'm sorry, Ethics and Justice.
Oh, Ethics and Justice, okay. An Ethics and Justice ad hoc committee to be activated when these issues come up. Okay.
This is when
standing committee.
Can we change it to just Ethics Committee?
Okay.
Sure.
Point of information, is it the intention that this committee will also make the policy decisions, or that it will serve basically as a court to decide particular cases?
the purpose is as a working group, it would have no decisionality. You could just suggest a resolution to the governance committee that would then be brought to the governance committee to be voted on.
To investigate the issues, right, from both sides.
Right.
Okay.
I would object to this.
Who is this, Mark?
Yes.
Okay. So, first of all, we first have a motion to refer to policies and procedures, and then we have an amendment for a code of conduct, which we have to deal with the amendment first.
Point of order?
Yes.
What we have here is something that, if it's reworked a little bit, will be a substitute motion. Right now what I have is we create a standing ethics and justice ad hoc working group. That doesn't address the motion that was on the floor. You would have to add that we create a standing ethics and justice ad hoc working group be created, and that this issue be referred to that. Otherwise,
yes,
it doesn't relate to the original motion at all.
Right, exactly. That's what I was saying.
Was that our understanding?
Yes, that was my understanding.
All right, Paul, I think we struck the words justice.
Okay.
I would object to the whole concept. The reason being is that each situation is going to be individualized, and as I recall, under Roberts, you get one person pro, one person con, and a third person they both agree on, and they're the ones...
We are out of time on this issue.
Does anybody want to move to extend?
I move we extend 5 minutes.
Who's moving to extend?
Penny. Who voted to extend? Who moved to extend?
Rosalinda.
Rosalinda. Any objection?
Hold on. I'll call you back a little bit then.
Okay. Mute 6 if you're going to talk on your other phone. Okay. But I still think that the process needs to be that we need to take a vote on whether this should be referred to code of conduct, or and then the original motion, which was that this should be referred to policy and procedure, and then a new motion or a substitute motion that this should be actually a new motion, because it's going to be the formation of an ad hoc committee, ethics, that would... I actually prefer ethics and justice, but anyway, that would be activated per need. Okay, and that's how I'd like to do it. We really have to move on and bring closure to this. Then you can object, and you can vote no, and you can vote yes.
Madam Chair, can I read what I have here?
Yes.
All right. I have an original motion by Ryder to refer both motions to the Policies and Procedures Working Group. I have an amendment by Letterer to refer this to the Code of Conduct Working Group, and then I have a motion, I think it's Aaron?
Yes.
That a standing ethics ad hoc working group be created, and that the Freeland issue be referred to that.
Yes.
Okay, so that's what I have, and I would say the Aaron motion is...
Is what?
Have priority as substitute.
It's a substitute motion, I think. So I think that would have to go first.
Okay. So all those.
Mr. George.
Roll call.
Is it possible to speak to the motion?
Who is this?
George.
Go ahead.
My sense is that we need to have a policy decision on this. The item I spoke about in the beginning, there's no factual issue involved. It's really a question of policy. It affects the liability of everybody who's on the board. Basically, as it stands, I think needs to be resolved as a policy, and so I think it's insufficient to refer it to a committee which will resolve this particular case, which is my understanding of what this committee is supposed to do.
I don't think that one precludes the other, because code of conduct clearly is going to be taking up, as will policy and procedure, the issue of suspension. So I think that's separate from the specific... motions that were brought
we're voting on a substitute motion, which will refer this just to this one committee we're about to create.
But it doesn't preclude that we've already previously had discussions when we were forming the committees that they will be taking up suspension, generically. But anyway, but let's just vote yes or no if you agree. Just, you know, whatever committee, just vote yes on whichever committees you don't want, say vote no. Our
Bob.
Call, roll call.
This is Bob. I'm sorry. Can I just say one thing?
Briefly.
Yeah. The reason I think it's sensible to send this to Code of Conduct is that in some ways, and Grace is correct, that a new code cannot be applied retroactively. However, in the process of thought and discussion about what a new code should be and what the procedure should be, it's very helpful to look at case study. And so this, it's really the same conversation about what procedures should be followed in the future based on what errors may have been made in the past. So I think, you know, I'm very, very concerned about the proliferation of multiple working groups basically dealing with almost identical topics. I think, you know, we have limited energy and we need to centralize our efforts so we get, you know, get the most work done.
Okay. Paul.
Ready?
Yes.
Okay.
And this is on Grace's...
This is on the motion which says a standing ethics ad hoc working group be created and that the Freeland issue be referred to that. Grace Aaron.
Yes.
Lydia Brazon.
Yes.
Jim Brown. A.C. Byrd.
Pass, I know.
Cade Campbell. Mark Hernandez.
No.
Bob Lederer.
No.
R. Paul Martin. No. Rosalinda Palacios.
No.
Richard Phelps.
No.
George Ryder.
No.
Serene Roberts.
No.
Julie Rodriguez.
No.
Wendy Schroel.
No.
Oh, I'm not getting your name right now. Deb Shafto.
No.
Okay. We have two yes.
AC passed.
Okay.
Oh, wait, okay. AC, right, I missed. AC Byrd?
I vote no. I vote no.
Oh, okay. 11 no. Two yes, 11 no. Madam Chair.
Okay, so it failed. Next is Code of Conduct.
Okay, one second. Okay.
Ken, please mute. Ken, if that's you, star six. We're not having discussion, so you can star six.
Okay, next. Next is to refer these two motions to the Code of Conduct Working Group. Grace Aaron.
No.
Lydia Brazon.
Yes.
Jim Brown. A.C. Byrd.
Yes.
Cade Campbell. Mark Hernandez.
No.
Bob Lederer.
Yes.
R. Paul Martin. No. Rosalinda Palacios.
Yes.
Richard Phelps.
No.
George Ryder.
Yes.
Serene Roberts.
Yes.
Julie Rodriguez.
Yes.
Wendy Schroel.
I'm sorry, what are we going? I just, like, stepped away for a second. What are we voting on now?
Refer these two things to the Code of Conduct Working Group.
Yeah.
Actually, this is the amendment to the original motion.
Right.
Yes. There's an amendment to the original motion, and the amendment is to refer this to the Code of Conduct Working Group.
And the motion on ethics failed.
What point of information, what was the original motion?
Referred to the Policy Procedures Committee.
Okay.
Point of information?
Go ahead.
My understanding of Bob's motion was it to be referred to the Code of Conduct Committee also, not instead of. That was what the amendment was. Which I kept it as a friendly amendment. But
what was your amendment?
No, that's incorrect. It was exclusively to refer it to the Code of Conduct Working Group.
I'd like to change my vote to no.
Who's changing?
George.
Ryder.